Thank you, German, for the special music. Thank you so much, Mr. Morast, for that wonderful message. Brethren, today Mr. Morast started his message by telling us that there are better days ahead. And he also encouraged us to keep doing what we are doing that is good. Keep trusting God, not in our own strength. I want to agree with him that there are, greater days ahead. We have greater days ahead. Much better, because Jesus Christ has promised us so. He read from the book of John 14, where he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And today the title of my second split sermon is "Christ Shall Have Dominion." If Jesus Christ have dominion in this world will be a perfect place. Christ shall have dominion. I want you to turn to the book of Daniel chapter 2. We always go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2, from verse 31. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that troubled him. And after he had the dream, he forgot the dream. And he called the wise men of Babylon to tell him the dream and the interpretation. But when they failed to tell him, he pronounced that they would be all destroyed before Daniel came and prayed to God for wisdom and revelation of the dream. And God did show him the dream. And he went back to King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's see this dream and the interpretation from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, from verse 31. "Thou, O king," Daniel talking to the king, "thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arm of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. O king, at the King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whosoever the children of men, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowl of the heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toe part of the potter clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toe of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God have made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So God revealed to the king what will come, what will happen. Telling him how God will completely remove the current civilization, the corruption, and everything we see in this world today. And that small stone will become and grow and grow and grow and dominate the entire world. And if you turn to the book of Daniel chapter 7, Daniel 7, Daniel 7 from verse 13. Daniel 7, 13. Daniel saw another vision. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the cloud of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. So that stone is talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will have dominion in this world. That stone that was cut off from the mountain without hands, is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And Jesus Christ will come and he will have dominion. So there are better days ahead. God promises us better days ahead. Christ shall have dominion. And if you also turn to Isaiah 9, the book of Isaiah 9, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this place also is telling us that the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar saw was referring to Jesus Christ coming back to this world to rule, to fill the world with knowledge, to fill the world with understanding, to bring about peace, and to destroy completely this current civilization. If you turn to Isaiah 11, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his root, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove at the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the horns of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as water covers the sea. So Jesus Christ will fill the earth with knowledge, the words of his mouth, the rod of his mouth, knowledge. And before peace comes, there has to be knowledge. Knowledge will come, and then peace. And Jesus Christ will bring peace, he will bring knowledge, he will remove Satan from our midst. And there will be peace. And we will have better days. Better days ahead. Christ shall have dominion. And if you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're still talking about the stone that was cut off, and the image. And we're saying that that stone is Jesus Christ. That stone represents the Feast of Trumpet. Isaiah, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The Lord will descend from heaven. This is the hope. This is the only hope we have. If not, we can sit down today and predict the end of this current life. In the next 150 years, or maybe in the next 200 years, I don't think any of us staying here will still be here. This is the hope that Jesus Christ will return again, and Jesus Christ will give us eternal life. And we will have eternal life and reign with him forever and ever. This is the only hope. We do not have hope in science. So many rich people have died and they've paid a lot of money to be preserved in liquid nitrogen, believing that one day science will conquer death. And they say when that happens, they should come and wake them up. Nobody will wake you up. This is the only hope. Christ is the only one that will wake us up from the sleep. And we are believing, and we know, just like the book of Daniel said, the dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. We know that Christ will come back. Just like where Mr. Moraes read in John 14, said, "Let not your heart be troubled." No matter what we go through in this world, no matter what we see today, Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. Continue to believe in God. Continue to believe in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when this place is prepared, say he will come back and he will take us to himself. So wherever he is, there we will be also. And if you turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation 21:4. John saw, and he said to us, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God will wipe away all tears, all our worries, all the pain that we feel today, God will take them out. If you turn to Matthew 21 and verse 42. Matthew 21, 42. We're still talking about the stone that crushed the image. Matthew 21:42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to nation bringing forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So the stone that the builder rejects, what is the stone that the builder rejects? The word of God is a building block that builds our life, that teaches us how to live a godly life, fear God, keep his commandment. And if we implement it, we'll have peace today. But the world that we live in today have jettisoned the word of God. They've thrown away the word of God. And everybody's doing his own thing, his or her own thing. Nobody wants to listen to God's word. And this is the stone that was rejected. And according to the book of Daniel, this stone will become the head cornerstone. And Jesus Christ said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Christ will have dominion. And if you turn to Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of God. I know there are a lot of people preparing to go to heaven, to go and live in heaven. God's kingdom will come to this world. And the kingdom of this world will be taken over, will be overthrown by the kingdom of God and of his Christ. And we will reign with Jesus Christ if he finds us worthy. We'll reign with him forever and ever. These are great messages of hope that gives us strength, that encourages us to keep doing what we are doing that is good. But when we talk about the kingdom of God, it is also important for us to talk about the citizens of the kingdom of God. We believe that we will be part of the citizens, that we will be in God's kingdom, especially with the first fruits. But it's not something that we just say with our mouth. It requires a lot from us. God requires something from us. And what does it take to be a citizen in God's kingdom? If you turn to the book of Psalms 24, Psalm 24. What does it take to be a citizen in God's kingdom? After we've repented, we're baptized, and we are in the church. Is that all? Psalms 24. Psalms 24, from verse 3. Psalms 24, 3. So who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He who have clean hands and a pure heart. This place talks about clean hand. It also talks about pure heart. If I ask everybody to show me their hand, if you raise your hand up, I'll see your hand. It's physical. So it has to do with physical, something that people will see, something that others can see. And it also has to do with our heart, something that we humans cannot see, but only God can see. So if humans approve us that we are righteous, that is not enough. That does not make us righteous. Till God approves of us that we are righteous. Because the Bible says that it is God that sees the heart. God is the only one that sees the heart. He's the only one that knows if the heart is pure or not. But others could see that our hands are clean. We can package it. We can make others believe that we are righteous. Thou shalt not steal. We know if we go and steal, we'll go to jail. Because of that, we don't steal, but we want to steal in our mind. Thou shalt not kill. We know if we kill, we'll be punished by the law. Then we avoid it. But we want our brothers and our sisters, we want somebody to die. We wish someone dies. We tell people bad words that could cause stress and make them sick and kill them. God is the only one that sees that part. We cannot see that part. We cannot say who is righteous and who is not righteous. He who has clean hands is physical, and a pure heart, only God can tell. We cannot even tell about our own heart because the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Our heart can deceive us. So many people who call false prophets, they are deceived by their own hearts. Their mind tells them something, and they'll come up and they'll say it, not knowing it was not the voice of God. Our own mind, our own heart can deceive us. We have to be very careful. We have to do something. We need to understand what it means to be righteous, what it really means to be righteous. Righteousness is not all about keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, everything that we do that everybody can see. But it also has to do with doing it from the heart. Doing it from the heart, that is very important. Like God said of Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God must testify about our righteousness, and then men as well. Men calling us righteous is not too important. It's not too important. Because we don't know what each others are going through. We don't know what is going on in each other's life. Our judgment on one another has very high chances of being wrong. But only God sees the heart, and he sees everything. And he can say who is righteous. And he is the one that will say who will be in that kingdom. Who will be in that kingdom. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Verse Matthew 5, from verse 3. Matthew 5, 3. Matthew 5, 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We must always hunger and thirst for righteousness. Like we read in the book of 1 Corinthians 10:12 during the first place sermon, that says, he who thinks he stand, he who thinks he stand. That is very important. We must always hunger for righteousness. Any day we stop and we don't feel that hunger for righteousness, something is wrong. Any day we start feeling that we are righteous, any day we start feeling that we are righteous, that we are getting it right, that we are on the right track, that we are doing everything right, then we have to stop and check again. We have to stop and check again. The Bible said, blessed are they which hunger. We need that test for righteousness and hunger for the kingdom of God always, for God to fill us. And we need to be poor in spirit. The kingdom of God is not about position. It's not about who knows how to speak. It's not about who does who. We must realize that in comparison with God, we are nothing. We are nothing. In comparison with God, we are nothing. Then God can help us. Anytime we feel that we are nothing, poor in spirit, then God can deliver us from any situation. From sin, from trouble, God will deliver us. Let us look at a parable that Jesus Christ gave in the book of Luke 18:19 about the tax collector and the Pharisee. This is what we need to do. Luke 18. Brethren, we cannot talk about righteousness without talking about humility. Righteousness lives in humility. Righteousness lives in humility. And we must not talk about righteousness without talking about humility. Humility must be the first. Luke 18:19. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is good. We'll come back to the prayer of the tax collector and the Pharisee. But Jesus Christ, even though God called him my beloved son, Jesus Christ rebuked them when they called him good. When they called him good. As a man, they called him good. And Jesus Christ said, only God is good. Only God is good. Okay, let's go to the parable of the tax collector and the publican. That is in Luke 18. Luke 18. From verse 10, Luke 18:10. Luke 18:10, Jesus Christ told a parable. Say, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus Christ said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We must be very careful. We must be very careful thinking that we stand. But every time, we must humble ourselves before God. We must humble ourselves. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 65, I believe Isaiah 65, says our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. If we must run this race to the end, we must continue at any time. We must put our hope in God, always trusting God, not in our own ability, not in what we are doing, always trusting God, looking up to God, humbling ourselves before God, always. Not feeling that we are righteous, but feeling that God will help us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This should be the mindset of the citizens of God's kingdom. And if you turn to Matthew 5:20, Matthew 5:20, Jesus Christ said, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? They planned so many times to kill Jesus Christ, but because of the crowd, they want to look nice before the people. They want to be righteous before the people, but they were murderers inside of them. They were murderers. Jesus Christ said, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of show. We want to show that we are righteous? No, that is not what God requires from us. You have heard that is what said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Must exceed what people see, and we must cleanse our heart. This is the last day of the days of unleavened bread. We've removed leavenings from our houses. That is good. That is physical. But we must also remove sin. We must also remove pride. We must also cleanse our heart. And we cannot do it ourselves. We must humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and ask for help. And God assures us that he will help us. He will help us. And this is the way, this is how we prepare for the days ahead. Like Mr. Morast was saying, this is how we prepare for the days ahead. Our hands must be clean and our hearts must be pure. We cannot make our own heart pure by our own works. We must submit to God. We must submit to God. And God will do it. We must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves before God. You remember the first, the angel that sinned, Lucifer? What happened? His own heart deceived him. His own heart deceived him. The Bible said about Lucifer, "You have said in your heart, I will ascend." His own heart told him he could ascend and take the position of God. "You have said in your heart, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I. We must be careful when our minds tell us, I. I will ascend. I am righteous. I am this. I am that. That is how to fall. That is how to fall. When our heart tells us we can ascend, that is the way to fall. Because anything that goes up must come down, according to science. Anything that goes up must come down. But the way to the kingdom of God is this way. When we bend down, when we bend low, we humble ourselves, this is the way to up. The way up is down, not upwards. When your heart tells you you can ascend, your heart is deceiving you, just like Lucifer's heart deceived him. We must beware of even our own heart. We must not lean on our own understanding. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, say, "Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." Why did the Bible tell us that? Not even trust in our own self. Not even trust our own mind. Say, lean on God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Because that is how to become the citizens of God's kingdom. If you turn to Matthew 3, verse 2, from verse 1. "And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These words refers to people who are not yet in the church. They can repent and they can be baptized. And Jesus Christ said they will, if they live a righteous life, they will receive eternal life. These words here also applies to us. We need daily repentance. We need daily repentance. We need to repent every day by day. Not only people that are not in the church, even people in the church. This word still applies to us. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's a daily thing. We must always repent. Remove leavening from our heart, because Jesus Christ is coming to deliver the entire world. And it starts from us. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It must be a daily thing. But for the kingdom must surely come. The kingdom must surely come. Isaiah 55:7. Mr. Morales was talking about after today. What next? Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are different from our ways. And the way that we walk today is not our own way. It's God's way. We don't know it. Only God knows it. He will tell us. He will teach us where to walk, where to step. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man is directed by God, is ordered by God. Our steps must be ordered by God. Say, my ways are not your ways. These are two different ways. God is the one that will show us his ways. And our own, just like what happened when they were coming out of Egypt at the Red Sea. God made the way in the waters, and what the people did was just simple. They walked in that way. That's how our relationship with God, that's what it should be. Our relationship with God is, one, is God, he makes the way. And ours is to obey and walk in that way. If you turn to Romans 14:17. And it says, Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we have said that righteousness is both physical and also what goes on in our mind, what's going on in our mind. When we obey God's law, we must obey the letters and the spirit of the law. We must obey the letters. We must obey before men and obey before God. And this applies to all of us, including myself, everybody. We must trust in God. We must look up to him and humble ourselves before him and bring our hearts before him, not thinking that we are better than any other person. We are not. If you remove leavenings from all of us, the best way to describe us is nothing. Nothing in comparison with God. Every other thing we see, they are just false. If you remove God, we are nothing. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, not in any other thing, not trusting in yourself, in your ability, or any other thing. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We must rely on God, not on any other thing, not on our own capability or what we think. We must be strong, strong in the Lord. And Ecclesiastes 12:13. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man. Fear God, not men. Fear God, not men. We don't do a lot of things because people are watching us. We must also desist from doing something because we believe that God is watching us. If you believe that God is seeing us and God is watching us, and we love God so much, that's what it means to fear God. And the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man. Our duty is to fear God, both inwardly and physically. When someone is looking, we fear God. When nobody's watching, we fear God. That's what it means to fear God. So that we can be part of God's kingdom. Clean hands and pure heart. It must come from heart. The love we have for one another must be a love that springs up from our heart. Not hypocrisy. Not hypocrisy. We must love one another and love God from our heart. Say, fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of a man. This is our duty. It's very important for us to know what our duty is. Our duty is to fear God. Our duty is to fear God. And we must try to focus on that and do that our duty. We must pray for one another, pray for each other, so that God can help other people do their duty. But it is not our duty to judge other people. It is not our duty to do any other thing. Our duty, our main duty, is to fear God. Is to fear God and keep his commandment. God is the one that we judge. God is the righteous judge. We don't see anything. We don't know anything about people. So we cannot judge them. Say, fear God and keep his commandment. Brethren, this is our duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret things, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12-14. Say, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh lie. So brethren, this is our duty, to fear God and keep his commandments. So a very quick recap of what I've said today. I started by saying that Christ shall have dominion. Christ shall have dominion. And because Christ shall have dominion, we can trust and believe that we have better days, perfect days ahead. Christ shall have dominion. And the book of Daniel, chapter 2, 31, tells us the dream that God showed Nebuchadnezzar, how a stone, a small stone, cut off without hand from a mountain, will come and crush the entire world. And that stone will grow and grow and dominate the entire world. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew, the stone which the builder rejects have become the chief cornerstone. And we read the book of 1 Thessalonians, how Jesus Christ will descend from heaven. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born and the son is given. Isaiah 11, about Jesus Christ from the root of Jesse, and he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And we, from the Bible authority, established that God had promised to bring his kingdom to this world. And we can hope and believe that there are better days ahead. But we need to do something. We need to do something. Psalms 24:3 says, "He who has clean hands and pure heart will dwell in the mountain of God." And we need to work on that. And we said that righteousness dwells in humility. We need to be humble, humble ourselves every day by day, like Jesus Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We must wear the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of humility, and he is our righteousness. "Lean not on your own understanding. Do not trust in your own heart, because your own mind has the capability of deceiving you, can deceive and destroy us." And we must rely on God alone. And we read in Ecclesiastes, "Fear God and keep his commandments." Brethren, it is my prayer that God helps us to stay humble and to always see that before God and his ways to eternal life, we are nothing and we cannot do it alone. And we must always rely on him, look up to him, and trust in him 100%. And if we do so, God helping us, we will walk with Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom.